Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso Steuer.
Ah, the French Champagne.
That was, maybe the best intro we've ever had.
A reference to what was his name? Orson Welles.
Now, Orson Welles
for Champagne. If anyone who's seen the video will get that reference. I apologize. It's a mailbag. I don't have a tune. We didn't get sent any tunes.
The mailbag.
So, we didn't get sent any tunes.
Bag. No.
We're done.
That's the mailbag.
The whole thing.
Once again. We've been spoiled with music, honestly. Quite frankly, we should just do this one in silence.
So much so.
An hour of silence.
Maybe too much music, you know?
In memoriam of good music.
In memoriam.
Well, let's kick it off with something that I've been sent by a few people. Hyperion, big fan of the podcast. In Mailbag 51, you were talking about the Twilight series. And you said, I think it's just an entry-level drug to 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
Well, fun fact. When the Twin Towers fell on 9/11, a man named Gerard Way witnessed the event, and it inspired him to start the emo rock band My Chemical Romance. His band was then used by Stephanie Meyer as the inspiration for the Twilight series. E.L. James, a fan of the book, then wrote a Twilight fan fiction, which then became 50 Shades of Grey, so 9/11 caused 50 Shades of Grey.
And Twilight and My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, interesting.
Gee whiz. I mean, I guess it is such a big event that a lot of things will have, been created off the back of such an event.
Indeed. I think it's just because they feel disconnected.
Yeah.
Even though I think three of those things feel like the same thing to me. The odd one out here is 9/11. Let's be real. Emo band, a band about a book about vampires, a book about, I don't know what, an abusive relationship. I don't know. I haven't read it. I don't know what it's about.
Mm. What? 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it either. No, it's a guy. It's a guy who's like a psychologist, but he has like lots of different fetishes. I think.
Oh,
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that sounds closer.
I'm not. I don't.
Three old men speculate about a popular sexy book that came out 15 years ago.
Come up with your theories based on the loose information you've gathered over the years. When did 50 Shades of Grey come out? I feel like that's been out for a long time now.
Not even
close to being a new thing anymore.
And it's 50 Shades of Grey. The thing is, his name is Grey.
That's right. Yeah, because and it's like all his different.
That's the idea.
It's all the different sides of his personality. The 50
it
shades.
It goes through all the different kinks.
Yeah,
the man's got 50 kinks.
Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Can you name him?
Yeah, when he's pouring hot magma into his
magma.
That's where we're starting. Is it on naming kinks?
Yeah,
pouring liquid magma down your dick.
Let me bring out a. I'll bring out a wee notepad here. We'll write them
down. Where'd you get the liquid magma from?
From a volcano.
Pour down your dick man, you wait for a volcano to erupt.
Or you just pop over to a volcano. Scoop a bit
it's
up.
It's called dedication.
Kinky.
This guy. So we've got magma down cockhole.
You're writing this down.
Yes, I'm noting these down. We need 40.
That's one the 50th down, shade.
49 to go.
49 more to go.
Okay.
I think he's a bicycle fucker.
Hamsters in your asshole.
Hamsters.
Aided by a toilet paper tube.
With toilet roll.
Yeah.
Tube.
That's got to be number 48.
That's a frightening one, that. These are all, like, I've always thought serious stuff.
There must have been a point where someone's penis was small enough and someone's nose holes were large enough that you could fuck someone's nose.
Absolutely.
I'm nose fucking.
Right.
Brackets, where possible.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I feel like that's just putting your dick into anything.
Yeah, but I want it to go all the way up in the nostril. Like that bit in Total Recall when Arnie pulls the probe out of his head with that thing and his nose goes all big, but in reverse because it's a cock going up that nose.
Good
if
Lord.
That makes sense.
Can we move on already?
We've got 46 to go.
So we've got quite a few more shades
started.
To cover.
Right,
like 5 minutes of this podcast.
If you want to move on, then so be it.
Fine. Yeah, we'll move on. That's fine. Okay. Hello, I am freshly out of a long-term relationship and decided to sign up for Tinder.
Right.
Despite listening to the podcast for years and hearing a lot of horrific dating stories, I thought there was surely no way anything bizarre could happen to me using a dating app.
No, I never thought that the leper would eat my face. Right. Yeah.
.. I was wrong. After a few weeks of using the app and talking to a couple of girls that I matched with, one of them in particular paired very well with my personality, as far as I could tell. She was incredibly beautiful and made it a point to talk about how much she liked my long, wavy hair as it goes below my shoulders. I thought nothing of it at the time, just assuming it was a compliment and nothing more. We decided to go to a bar around where she lived for the first date, had a few drinks, few laughs, things were going very well. Throughout the night, she kept twirling my hair around her fingers and commenting on how nice it felt, which I thought was a little strange, but again, thought nothing of it. After being at the bar with her for a few hours, she asked me if I'd like to come back to her place. This has never happened to me before, and I couldn't have been more excited, but I played it cool and we headed back to her apartment. We walked in and she immediately started kissing me. I was having a great time until she said something she wanted to show me. She grabbed me by the hand and led me into her bedroom closet where she had a full barber chair and hair clippers laid out next to it. She then asked me if she could shave my head and told me she had a fetish for the act of shaving a man's long hair. Now, I understand everybody is into what they're into and cannot help it. But of course, as this was the first date and an incredibly bizarre request, I said no. She then started to cry and beg me to let her do it. I quickly gathered my things and went home and deleted the app soon after.
Where do you go from there, though? She shaves your head and then she's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. Your hair is not long anymore. My fetish is not possible to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's messed up. That's messed up.
That's a bit messed up. Yeah.
She should seek therapy for that.
So in her closet, she had a full barber chair with like clippers, everything like ready to go.
Yeah, she had it
in a secret cupboard. It's obviously like something that.
Or maybe not so secret. Like,
why does she not just work at a hairdresser?
Because
she'd be just like
orgasming nonstop.
Yeah, just coming all day. Like it'd be
right.
Well, not so much with if she did women's hair, maybe not so much. Is the fetish specific to men with long wavy hair?
Yeah, it's
maybe it's also specific to men who don't want it, you know?
It's the reluctant. It's the Samson and Delilah fetish.
She is gonna be a serial killer. I'm just putting it out.
She might already be one. There's a lot of cold cases out there. I'm just saying.
Sorry, a serial killer of nice hair, of long hair.
I see.
Of people. I mean, it's only a matter of time, though, before she ties someone up and, you know, like kidnaps someone and shaves their head.
Yeah, but
and then
just to shave their head.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's not going to actually.
There are worse things.
You know, of course, you know, but I think that it's.
She should join the army.
Yeah, she could just be the person that shaves.
Oh my God.
Like at the start of Full Metal Jacket.
She could join the
Goodbye,
army.
Goodbye, my darling. Hello. And she's just in the background, like crossing her legs.
Yeah.
crying.
The real thing, though. I mean, when I had long hair, I was sick of it. I was ready to get rid of it, you know. And so. But the thing is, imagine I met this woman on Tinder, not that I'm available, you know, and I had long hair and, you know, we went out and I did allow it. I was like, this is a match made in heaven, right? She can shave off my head. What happens then, though, is as soon as she sees me with shaved hair.
You have sex with her, yes.
No, no, no.
Yes, she's so aroused by the act of shaving your
head. You have sex and then she's not at all interested in you, like a lot of men who just want to have like a sandwich right after and don't talk and stuff, you know?
Well, okay. It's the same sort of thing. Those men, they're treating you poorly, are they?
Yeah.
Your boyfriends, that's a shame.
Yeah. She just has a cigarette and says, pack up your things.
Get out.
Get your Uber.
The fuck get out, you here. Bold cunt. That's what she
okay.
said.
Or she starts screaming, put it back on, put it back, and tries to like sew the hair back onto your bald head or something
or
like that.
Or she wears it like a wig, like Buffalo Bill in
Would you fucking, fuck me? She puts a fake mustache on.
I'd shave me. I'd fucking shave me. Would you fuck me? Put it in a man. That's his voice.
He's fucked up.
Oh, man. All right, anyway. This is from someone from Delaware. Growing up, I always thought of Lego as a toy only meant for a child. Mm-hmm. And while at one point that might have been true, myself and a lot of others have started to see Lego as more of a therapeutic exercise rather than a children's activity. My wife was very much into Lego before I met her, and we really connected through it. I thought there was going to be a Lego joke there, but there wasn't. We would spend hours putting them together, just talking about whatever random topic came to mind. At 33, I see it as something more akin to painting or sculpting, while much simpler and not really taking any brain power. I just find it relaxing. That's fair enough.
Fair enough.
So here they have attached a picture of their Lego wall, and you might think, oh, well, this is wholesome and everything. But I have some issues with this picture.
Okay,
because
let me look at this picture.
Let's hit it.
There's the Lego wall. But if you cast your eyes at this...
This is very similar to what I have.
I feel like I'm looking flat at Lewis's apartment right now.
Yeah, imagine, if you will.
It's a couple of IKEA Kallaxes.
A little square shelves, a series of square shelves. It's like 18, 24, 24 little square shelves.
Six of them along in a row.
Yeah. So they've used it for Lego. They've also used it for DVDs. Now, I had a look at this DVD collection, and I'm alarmed, genuinely alarmed. First of all, they have every episode of Walker, Texas Ranger on DVD, which is unacceptable.
Okay. Good choice.
I see some NCIS.
Chuck Norris, right?
I see some NCIS. Yes, that's Chuck Norris. NCIS is there as well, which is a terrible show.
Well, listen, somebody's got to watch these. These are highly rated shows. Somebody's watching them.
Listen,
these DVDs cost them a lot 20 years ago.
Jeff Dunham.
And they can't bring themselves to throw them out
Jeff
or give them
Dunham,
to anyone because they're worthless.
You know him? He's the puppeteer who has the little puppet that says, I kill you. He's awful. He's one of the most successful comedians of all time.
Yeah,
Home Improvement, the entire run.
Yeah.
Fun, Full House.
Yeah.
Or great. Gilmore Girls.
Never seen that.
There was something else I found really objectionable in their collection.
Ally McBeal.
No, I don't see Ally McBeal. They've got all the Disney stuff appears to be on VHS.
All the seasons of Castle.
Castle is in there.
They got a Disney castle there too. They got two Disney castles? Is that little one with the red spires a Disney?
There's no sorting system here at all. It's just everywhere. Yeah. It's Ice Age next to My Big Fat Greek Life, next to Kingsman, Bull, and then just nonsense. Goldfinger, Spectre, Angels and Demons, Da Vinci Code, Kung Fu Panda. They've just got,
it's trash.
It's the who's who's of 10 years ago, 10, 20 years ago.
Trash. DVDs. This is upsettingly bad DVD. And everybody loves Raymond box set. Fucking.
But hang on.
This is
what people used to. I'm sure we talked to anyone who's, you know, anywhere near their 30s, and they had a massive DVD collection at a period of time.
It's
right?
the shows that they've the got. It's not about could... the DVD collection. I have DVDs. I'm saying it's the movies and shows that they've gone for.
Season one of Lost on DVD, and it was like in a big box and everything.
Right.
Honestly, do you know what? I'm fucking miss those times because at least there was a time, this blessed time, when you could watch shit on telly without ads. You know, you could record your TV and it would cut the ads out, or you could fast forward through the ads.
Depends where you live.
And now I pay for like 7 subscriptions. Like, give me, you know, I'd love to have a DVD with a whole season of stuff on it. You know, instead of having to get interrupted. I watched Hot Fuzz the other week because my partner hadn't seen it, and it was on Amazon Prime, and I I was.
Did she wish that she could go back to the point where she hadn't seen it again?
Sorry for the interruption. Here's a 1 minute ad in the middle of the movie, like multiple times.
Where? I'm like, on what service?
On Amazon.
Oh, Prime.
I'm paying
now,
for that.
So the thing with, isn't that the thing with Prime now? They want you to pay more and be like, oh, I'll pay Prime Plus, like Super Prime.
Oh, right.
Prime Squared.
But also I've got my brother's Disney Plus account, and we like share it. And he shares my Netflix, right?
And, don't want to admit to that.
And he has downgraded his one to the ad played version. I'm still paying the full price for the Netflix one. I'm not paying I haven't downgraded. He's enjoying Netflix ad free, whereas I have to watch his Disney Plus with ads.
What's going on?
What's going on, brother? I was watching the. I think there was a few things I was watching. I was
Cinderella.
Halfway through a couple of things.
He was watching the live action Cinderella.
Some of the Star Wars stuff. But once
Herbie
I started having
crazy.
To get ads on it, I just didn't come back to it.
Herbie gets all fucked up.
Was I watching What We Do in the Shadows of some of the
new
seasons?
Oh, yeah, there's a new season of that. Oh, yeah.
I can't remember. I don't even know if it's on Disney Plus. I haven't.
I'm sure that's on iPlayer. I'm pretty sure
I also had... had a Plex account I was using that
I used to have a Plex account.
Watch.
I've still got the thing downstairs. Like it's a box. It's just a big. Basically, all the Plex is a huge hard drive with a little miniature front end. Like a little, I think it's a little Linux front end or something, and you connect, and then you can play from the Plex directly to your telly.
Yeah,
you can share your library.
As right. well, which is, I think, the big one for Plex.
This was before there were all these streaming services.
Piracy is never. Never in a better place, guys. If you're interested in sailing the high seas in the golden age,
yes.
It's alive and well.
Yeah, well, it's not going anywhere, is it?
This podcast brought to you by ExpressVPN.
It's harder to play games, pirated games, though, right? Like, because a lot of games are online now, or like, there's like service games that are harder to get working, but.
Yeah.
Oh, well, here's a new topic. True. Front versus back of penis debate solved.
Oh, God.
That sounds
not
like a headline
again.
In the New York Times.
Not this again.
I wanted to give you a quick email to clear up the front versus back of penis debate.
Right. I'm glad it's solved, at least.
It's solved now by a doctor. I'm a doctor in South Wales, and in medical school, we had to learn about the male anatomical position. This is a biological man standing with his palms facing forwards with an erect penis, all caps, not flaccid, all caps. Therefore, to settle the debate once and for all, the back or dorsum of the penis is the side facing you when the penis is erect.
Yes.
Said erection was pointing straight upwards. The front or ventral side is the one facing away from you when the penis is erect. Hope this clears matters up. From Anonymous, brackets, I have a tiny penis. Thank you, Anonymous.
Clear
doctor.
As day. Thank you very much, kind sir.
Doctor.
Thank you very much, doctor. We can finally put this one to bed.
Indeed.
We solved another one, guys. That's good. That's really good.
Okay. Next.
No more comments on that one. Okay. This is from an estate agent.
Oh,
emailing
God.
In because we've been having a pop at them. So this is.
I don't want to hear it.
Is it?
Does it already?
Dear plebs.
I don't want to. Go on. Go for it. Go for it. They're not all. They're not all bad. I'm sure. Go on.
Right.
I think you're about to realize how bad they actually are.
He says, now, the slander that goes on with estate agencies. I've been a letting agent for around 13 years.
Not the same.
And moved in doing estate agency in the past few years.
Okay.
Right.
And I'd like to point out that most of your hatred would be pushed more towards English estate agencies, where dodgy practices seem to be far more commonplace.
Right.
In Scotland, you have no risk of gazumping. And from what I've gathered, we seem to be a good bit better up here. But that said, we're still not popular people. So the estate agents, this lad's from the northeast of Scotland.
Yeah.
He is claiming that it's English estate agents are the problem and that your Scotch estate agent, innocent, in fact.
Well, now, I think England's a bigger place. And also because it's a bigger place, there's probably... more areas where the particularly bad ones would operate, right? Like very affluent neighborhoods and stuff like that.
I mean, honestly,
I'm not saying Scotland has none of those. I'm sure they have tons, but I think probably England being a bigger place has more, and then
Also, we have houses. Scottish people live in little holes in the ground, as far as I'm aware. I didn't think they had developed housing.
I thought they lived at the top of Bob Nevis, but
Bob Nevis.
Yeah.
Is that his brother is Ben Nevis?
That's how I say this to Ravs all the time.
You call him Bob Nevis.
I did a quiz and I thought I'd never even heard of Ben Nevis, and it said something like what is this? And one of the options was Bob, and I randomly guessed Bob, and I think Ravs is in my chat at the time, and I could feel him dying inside.
Oh my god!
When I picked it,
Ochnoceps.
So I say it all the time, just to sort of remind him, you know, like a knowing nod, like sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This one is from Daniel. All of this fretting about whether or not you're being taken in by an urban legend sounds awfully similar to your other disclaimer. We may have spoken about this before. For your consideration, may I offer, we may have been deceived by this before.
What, by an urban myth?
Yeah, we could just say now, we may have been deceived by this before, but we're going to read this story. So yeah, I like that. I do like
that. Okay. Let's get like a, thing is, where does it end? You know, if we put like a 2 minute long disclaimer on the front of every podcast.
Maybe that's the answer.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start compiling it.
We'll record a disclaimer that we could put at the start of the podcast. We'll get somebody who can do the really fast reading to read it as well.
We could read it and just speed it up. So what would our disclaimer be?
We're warning. Old. Warning.
This podcast.
This podcast features three
old men
very contradictory,
over 40. Three over 40 year old
hypocritical men. Yeah,
contradictory, hypocritical.
We're contradictory. We're out of touch.
Yeah,
right. And we live in a kind of jaded existence.
We don't go outside very much, and are scared of the rapid change of society.
Yep,
and young people.
I feel like we get our news primarily from Reddit.
Yes, probably.
And
the BBC news.
Also,
Question Time.
We're not, I missed Question Time last night.
I wanted to
really
watch it
trained
too.
In anything like this as well. Like, I'm a scientist by trade. You know, Sips is a programmer and you're various things, PFLAX.
Unemployed. And unemployed.
And we're internet idiots. And for a long time, we've spent too long playing video. We're man children as well. Write that down. We play video games all day for a living. We are forgetful.
Wait, what was the other one you said
lazy.
Put it down? It was like, we're man-children. Man-children,
we're deeply forgetful. Like the other day, I saw
rubbish.
A little thing on Reddit which said, do you remember joining Lucky Blocks, PFLAX?
No, I had no memory of it.
And apparently you appeared in a Minecraft video with us doing Lucky Blocks, and which I'd completely forgot that entire series. Do you know what I mean? I can't remember a single thing that happened in any of those things. And honestly, watching Hot Fuzz the other day, I couldn't remember the plot really. And I played for a brand deal the other day. I played Funko Fusion, the video game.
What's that?
I say the other day. That was months ago.
It was Funko
Hot Fuzz.
Fusion, the video game.
The video game, which was they had like four IPs in there. One of them was Hot Fuzz, which they obviously bought for nothing. We might have even talked about this before. And if we have, sorry. The other one was Battlestar Galactica, but not the new Battlestar Galactica.
Right,
the one from the 80s.
Yeah.
The other two were like so... I think it was Jurassic World, very specifically Jurassic World, and The Thing.
I love The Thing.
I know, but you know these are kind of odd... And Masters of the Universe was the other one they
terrible.
Had. But not, again, not the new one.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like these odd... IPs that were obviously available, and they made a little Lego style game. I guess that's the idea to have. It's kind of like, oh, we're going to make Lego Hot Fuzz, but it's Funko Hot Fuzz and Lego Master Universe and Lego Battlestar Galactica, and each of them have their own little. It's basically the movie, the video game, and you go around the town and you do everything that happened in the movie. It's all very. It's like you could imagine the poor guys who are doing it have put no passion in whatsoever. They're just getting it done. It's a job to them. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
They obviously had fun when they made it, but it's not like, and they're happy for a job that isn't, you know, coding, I don't know, some, you know, gambling app or whatever the fuck is worse. You know, at least you get to mess around in a world which is kind of half fun. But I just it just didn't feel good. I feel like I've seen the movie multiple times. I played that game and I watched Hot Fuzz the other day and I couldn't really remember it. That's where we are in life. We are at a point in life where you two are now not listening to me. Okay, write that down.
I'm not, yes. We don't listen to each other.
Yeah, write that down in the disclaimer. I have not been listening to each other. You lost me.
I honestly didn't even understand what your point was.
Yeah.
My point was that we have... I've forgotten what happened.
I thought it would be rude
in
to interrupt.
You forgot if you, whether or not you even had a point to begin with or not.
The thing is, if you are a listener and you've listened back to podcasts, you will notice us saying the same thing, making the same anecdote, as if we're telling it for the first time, right? But we have no recollection of that. It's frightening, actually. And I am honestly like a little bit worried that I'm going senile with how much my brain is eroding.
Well, let me read what I've got. Have you tried to do some brain exercises? They don't work.
Dr. Spatzo's brain training or whatever on the Nintendo DS.
Dr. Spatzo?
Like, what was his name again?
Dr. Spatzo.
Doctor, some Japanese guy.
What was the name of that again?
I don't know, but I love Dr. Spatzo.
Someone's brain training.
You don't remember Dr. Spatzo? By Creative Labs?
Game.
You used to be able to get a Sound Blaster sound card.
Dr.
And it
Kawashima.
Came with software called Dr. Spatzo.
No, it didn't.
It
was
Dr. Kawashima's brain training.
Dr. Kawashima.
That was a thing.
Okay, but look, here, let me find Dr. Spatzo for you. It was the first ever text-to-speech, I'm sure it was.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Spatzo. There you go. Dr. Spatzo commands.
Oh my God, he looks hilarious.
Dr. Spatzo by Creative Labs. Please enter
He looks
your
like
name.
Einstein.
And then as you're entering your name, it's like, hello, Chris. I am Dr. Spatzo. It was really good. It was actually good.
I'm sorry,
I am here to help
this.
You. Yeah, it was old DOS thing. If you had a Sound Blaster, it came with the software drivers and stuff. Oh, there you go. You can use it. There's probably, I'm sure there's like a website where you could use it. But yeah, it was
so
hilarious.
Here's our preamble warning that I've come up with. Warning, this podcast features three contradictory, hypocritical, and out-of-touch middle-aged men. They are jaded, don't go outside much, and fear the rapid change of society and young people. Their only source of news is Reddit, Question Time, and The Apprentice. All three are internet idiots and spend too long playing video games all day for a living. Man-children talking rubbish and being deeply forgetful is what you will get here. We don't listen to each other, and you shouldn't either. We don't remember anything we have ever said and take no responsibility for any of it. We are all going senile. Enjoy the podcast.
Yeah. Okay, paste that in. We got to get that. We have to get this edited like properly as well. You need that. You need like that really ominous like... music at the start, and then you have to do like the really warning. This podcast features three contradictions with the in the background the whole time. That would be amazing. Let's do that.
Okay, if you can, I think you can work on that, and because there's a few more things you can probably add to it.
This podcast features three contradictory, hypocritical.
The gist of it.
Yeah,
I'll try and do something for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Wonderful.
For next time.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche rote Tafeläpfel aus Deutschland. 2 Kilo für nur 1,79 Euro. Oder Mini-Roma-Rispentomaten. 300 Gramm für nur 1,11 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Have you ever browsed in incognito mode before? It's probably not as incognito as you think. Google recently settled a $5 billion lawsuit after being accused of secretly tracking users in incognito mode.
Where's my money?
Google's defense? Incognito does not mean invisible. In fact, all your online activity
is still 100% visible to a ton of third parties, unless you use ExpressVPN.
Without ExpressVPN, these third parties can still see every website you visit, even in incognito mode. Your ISP, your mobile network provider, the admins of your Wi-Fi network, your school, your boss, your parents, your wife. ExpressVPN reroutes 100% of the traffic through secure encrypted servers, so third parties can't see your browsing history.
ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making it extremely difficult for third parties to track your online activity. It's easy to use, it works on all devices, and it's rated number one by top tech reviewers. So check it out now and protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/triforce. That's expressvpn.com/triforce. You can get an extra 4 months for free.
We all like to use it. We all like to keep it secret and keep it safe. And you should too. expressvpn.com/triforce. On with the show.
On with the show.
This is a good email from Please Keep Me Anonymous. So, longtime fan here. You guys talked about Nokia in episode 311. I thought you might be interested in a little summary of what's happened with them. There is obviously a lot more detail and nuance that I have written here. So sorry in advance if you get further emails on this. My source is being Finnish and having gone to university for finance.
Right.
So I think a little bit of background. Some fun facts about Nokia. Banker. A Finnish finance expert, or certainly trained, is giving us information about Nokia. See, this is literally like watching a film with old people where they're like, wait, no, pause it. Who's that guy again? What's his job? Who's she? You know, like that. Are you guys there?
Yeah.
Yes. We're waiting.
Some fun facts about Nokia.
Are you there?
The company is over 150 years old.
Fuck me.
And was originally a pulp mill and rubber products manufacturer.
Right.
They are famous for their rubber boots. The rubber boot company still exists separately and makes pretty good boots that are iconic in Finland.
You know how to say rubber in French?
Rubber.
Caoutchouc.
That's French?
That's French.
Because I guess, yeah.
At the height of the Nokia boom, the company contributed to a whopping 4% of Finnish GDP and 70% of the stock market value, which was just absurd. Nokia had something like 50% market share in the mobile phone market in 2007, dropping to just 3% over the following 5 years.
Yeah, well,
so they went from having half the market to 3% of the market.
Wow.
Nokia is a classic case study of what can go wrong in strategy and corporate culture and how they lost this massive market share. There is no single reason, but a number of them. Here are a few. In the early 2000s, a new CEO reorganized leadership into a matrix structure. Probably had seen the movie The Matrix and got excited about it, leading to a decentralized incentives and different priorities between teams. Basically, leading to teams competing for resources and working on a bunch of different initiatives instead of a cohesive strategy. Key staff members, people who basically created the success of Nokia, were pretty unhappy with these changes and decided to leave the company. Nokia doubled down on its Symbian OS, which was heavy and clunky to use and develop compared to the iOS and Android systems. By about 2009, Nokia was using 57 different and incompatible versions of their OS, and it was becoming very clear that Symbian could not compete. It's a shame they didn't jump on the Android train. Nokia massively underestimated the success of Apple and Samsung, thinking that people would want to hang on to physical keyboards and that touchscreens were just a fad. There is a famous story, which I'm paraphrasing here, from a Nokia engineer who took an iPhone to test and research at home. He gave it to his kid, who figured it out immediately and just couldn't keep his hands off it, wanted to keep playing with it over and over again. The engineer said that that was the moment he knew Nokia had lost. Problems in the corporate culture as well. Middle management in Nokia was scared to tell the truth to higher up due to a culture of fear and concerns about losing their jobs. And, you know, so they would sort of give them duff information that made out things were going better than they were and stuff like that.
Right, right.
The Nokia Design Archive was open to the public in January 2025 and contains a presentation from the day after the iPhone was announced in 2007, titled Apple iPhone was launched. Yes, it is iPhone. The presentation is a serious warning about Apple becoming a serious competitor, but was not taken seriously by management. So, yeah, interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah, I remember Nokia and Sony Ericsson's, remember?
Yeah.
Those were like the two big phones of
that time. Everybody had a Nokia. You know what I mean? It's like, it was just every fucking where.
Yeah. Yeah. And that,
it is
and
so
that
interesting.
Fucking ringtone as well. The... Yeah.
I think the new Nokia is going to be Tesla.
You're going to be what?
It's going to be Tesla.
I think they're going to make phones?
I think they're going to turn into, they're going to turn from, I mean, they don't have, what the fuck? I think they're going to collapse.
Oh.
I think that they are not, no one wants to drive that stupid Cybertruck. The reputation is terrible. Like, no one, it used to be cool, right?
Yeah.
The reason people like Apple shit is because it's cool. And that hasn't changed in 20 years, right? All these trendy cunts with their iMac seen in cafes.
Man, I saw a guy sitting in a cafe the other day with beer in a wine glass. You know, like you see that sometimes. He had like a wine glass with like some like a really nice looking beer.
Yeah, on his like whatever it's called.
Wearing chinos and like a checkered shirt. He was bald. He had glasses on. You know, he really looked like he was the owner of a company or worked in an office or something.
What a cunt.
Walked by him, didn't really think anything of it, didn't even look to see what was on his screen or whatever. You know, I was with my son and my son was like, I think that guy's playing World of Warcraft. And I turned around and I was like, nah, he doesn't look like he's playing World of Warcraft. I couldn't see the screen from where he were. I was like, I'll be able to tell you immediately if we walk by and I take a look at his screen, if he is or not, because... all the visuals of that game are like burned into my brain.
Oh yeah. Holy
and he's
shit.
Like, okay, fine. So we left, glanced over, fucking guy was just on the auction house in Stormwind, like drinking a beer in a cafe.
He's like doing his, yeah. He's doing his like,
I just said to my son, I was like, yeah, he's playing WoW. Like, I know exactly where he is and I know exactly what he's doing as well.
Wow. That's so
it
funny.
It was unreal.
In like a second glance. That's so great. So, I mean, I think that, oh God, what were we saying just before? This is why we're so forgetful.
Huh?
What was I going to say?
We were reading emails.
Where were we just before the story?
What? I was gonna tell you guys the plane that you could hear going over that was very loud.
Yeah.
Guess where that was going?
Tenerife.
No.
Sky scanner.
Very far away.
Japan.
Ooh, you're getting in towards the right kind of region.
Really?
Singapore.
No, but close.
Hong Kong.
The Philippines.
Kuala Lumpur.
Oh no.
Oh.
How do you know? Did it say on the plane?
No, I just called out to the pilot.
Oh, nice. Okay.
No,
there's a flight radar.
Flight radar 24. So I'll sit there watching it and I'll be like, oh, a big boy's about to come over, and I'll look out and I'll see it and I'm watching it on the screen at the same time. That is the most.
Do you do that thing where do you turn over to your wife and you say, hear that one? It's on its way to Japan.
Yes.
All right for some, eh? Do you do that?
Here comes, listen to this next one's going to be coming over. I want to see when you guys can hear it.
Okay, I can probably tell you where it's heading just based off the sound. So
okay, it's going to be coming right over my house in a second. It's getting closer.
Okay, so remember you have a voice activation.
I'm going to have to talk a little bit so you guys can hear it in the background.
I can hear it. I can hear it enough.
Can you hear that?
Yeah,
that
I know where that one's going. Hear
the
whine
I can
of the engine coming through.
That one's landing.
Ooh.
This one is not landing. It is taking off.
That is a landing.
I can assure you, it's taking off. It is heading away from the airport. It is taking off. I guarantee it.
Okay. If it's heading away from the airport, then that plane is crashing. It's landing.
It's not. I just saw it on the runway take off. It is definitely headed in the right direction.
You can see the runway from your house?
No. On the app, you bozo. There's a fucking runway.
Man.
And you follow the planes down the runway. And
I thought you had like a good view of like the runway from your house.
No, I don't want to be that close to Heathrow. Fuck.
Shit.
Where do you think this is going then?
Give us a clue.
It's going to take them.
I'm guessing it's going east, right? Because that's flies. You're east. Twickenham's east.
It's
going
to take them 5.5 hours.
5.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's
later
too long
in the day,
Tenerife.
Stuff will fly west.
Tenerife is like 4 hours. So further than Tenerife.
It sounded like a big plane. I'm going to say that bad boy is going to Dubai.
Circle.
You're close.
On the.
It's a Boeing 777-369. No.
What's the else is there? The Saudi. What's the Saudi capital called? Riyadh.
No.
Qatar.
No.
Bahrain.
No, this is the best thing we've ever done on this podcast, by the way.
It's
someone's
going to
already
Abu
guessed
Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi. It's no.
A
war was fought
Cairo.
Over this area.
Kuwait.
Yes.
Nice.
Next.
Well done.
This is a much smaller plane.
I love this, by the way. We need to do this more often.
I know. This is literally the best thing we've ever done.
This what Ryan, I love this.
Yeah, wait. Listen.
It's
see
like
if you can hear it.
Stream yes,
exactly.
Over your fucking
That's
house.
What Southwest London is like, but it's like this here. Listen, can you hear that very high pitched coming over?
Oh, that's an A3. Airbus 320, A320.
That is an A320 because you're now on flight radar, aren't you?
Yes,
you're on it. You are such a cheater. I would never cheat, by the way, at this.
I know. I'm not going to tell Sips. I'm not going to tell Sips.
None of them are landing.
That one's going to London Heathrow.
None of them are landing. They're all taking off. I think
they all land from the other side, don't they? So they all take off over London, I guess, yeah. And land. They land.
So what happens is sometimes I think I don't know. I think it might be down to prevailing winds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're on the takeoff route and it's they just go
over. It depends on the wind.
House all day long.
Yeah.
And other times I look out of my window to the west and I just see a line of them coming in to land. So I can see them lined up, especially at night. If I'm looking, I guess it's north, actually. I can look that way and see a line of planes coming into land, like stacked up all in a row, all just coming down through the exact same sort of like tunnel of, you know, they're all just being funneled through like view, view, view.
Yeah.
But today is a takeoff day for whatever reason.
Well, this is one of the main reasons that Concorde was considered to be stopped, because it was like so fucking loud.
Oh, no, it was. When I lived in Hampton,
we'd hear them here.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. So they wouldn't do sonic booms over the city.
No.
They'd have to get to a certain point. But yeah, as it got over quieter, the Atlantic, so somewhere like Jersey, then they'd fucking hear it.
Yeah, yeah. At the same time, every night you'd hear boom, boom, boom. It was awesome, yeah, actually. It was really amazing.
Yeah. So my family lived in Hampton. This is Mrs. F's side of things. And when I lived with them for a year in the 90s because I was working up in London for my industrial placement year. And Concorde would take off and it flew directly over their house. And I'm not kidding. Every single window and every glass, everything would shake and rattle like an earthquake when it went over. No other planes would do that. And the first time it happened, I thought a fucking earthquake would hit Hampton. Yeah. But no, it was just
an unbelievable
the fucking
plane.
Power of that plane. It's just crazy.
Two hours from London to New York. I mean, that is insane.
Wait, London to New York? What, 2 hours?
Wasn't it? I'm remembering wrong, but yeah, I think it was like pretty quick. Concorde
to New York, 2 hours 52.
Phil Collins famously took it during Live Aid because he played it at Wembley and then flew to New York to play live there as well. And they were like,
that's nuts.
Yeah. Philadelphia Collins himself. Fucking hell.
Philadelphia Collins.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a plane headed to Frankfurt is taking off now. Not a big plane. That's only...
You ever go down to Heathrow and just do a bit of plane spotting? Get your lawn chair out and your binoculars and your flight tracker and stuff?
No. God, no.
Oh.
It's tempting, though.
I'm disappointed.
Anyway, this is What's the Deal with Peru? Hey, guys, my name is Alan, and I'm an OG tiny penis haver. I'm a 22-year-old electrical engineering student in LA.
Right.
But I lived in Peru till I was 18.
Okay.
I've been listening through the podcast from the start recently, and I've noticed the amount of times Peru is mentioned multiple times by you guys, despite the absolute lack of interaction with Latinos you guys probably have had.
Yeah.
I'd like to address all of the misconceptions about the country I've heard from you guys and let the listeners know we're not just munching on guinea pigs while petting our llamas.
And snorting Peruvian cocaine as well.
The cocaine.
Yeah.
You can summarize my points to Lewis and Sips as I wouldn't want to take up too much of your time. Don't you worry about that.
Well, look, I think for us, as Britons, Peru has a kind of the connotation of being
where Paddington is from.
It's almost like saying, it's like where Paddington's going. But also, in a sense, it's almost like saying Timbuktu or something. It's like, oh, send him to Peru.
Deepest, darkest Peru.
Yeah, Paddington there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's almost synonymous with the idea of somewhere far away, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's in the modern parlance as a thing where we're like, you know, I'm going to fuck off to Peru or whatever. But it's also seen, I guess, as a sort of a destination for trendy gap year people to, as like an odd location to go. Right. So I think it probably does get more mentions than Bolivia, right, or whatever. And it's kind of fun to say as well.
Peru
right? It is. Bolivia.
Bolivia.
Whereas, you know, I haven't got anything interesting to say about Paraguay, to be honest, unless it's the World Cup going on and they happen to have made it through or something. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But Peru, I think it does get brought up more than the other South American places.
I feel like the less you hear about a country, the better, really. It normally means that, you know, things are just ticking over, hopefully nicely, you know?
Yeah.
No all right, dramas.
So let's run through these points.
It'd be nice to hear occasionally from another country that, you know, they've, you know, discovered something amazing or invented something amazing or started doing something differently or whatever. The news cycle is just so fucking awful nowadays. It's unwatchable. It's just...
All right, well, maybe this will cheer you up. These are some fun facts about Peru. Firstly, mañana is not money, as Sips thought.
No, I know. It's a long-standing joke. I used to say it to a guy that I used to work with who... He was one of those guys that... No matter how many times you said it, he would correct you every single time and get annoyed. So I just kept saying it all the time. Sorry.
Mañana. Give me some mañana.
Give me some mañana.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's a funny...
tomorrow.
It means tomorrow. Yeah,
I know.
Lewis mentioned being sacrificed by the Mayans in Peru once. The Mayans weren't Peruvian. You were out by about 3,000 kilometers. We had the Incas, which you probably heard
Incas,
of.
Sure.
But they gained power by beating the shit out of the neighboring tribes from Cuzco and then assimilating their culture and religion to avoid rebellion.
Where is Titicaca? Does that come anywhere close to some teepee
I
from
have
my
no idea.
I need
Lake Titicaca. Yeah, it's Titicaca. South America somewhere.
Lake Titicaca.
It says it is actually in Peru. Yeah,
it's in Peru.
Between Lake.
Right it's, next. It's also half Peru,
it straddles.
Half Bolivia.
There you go.
It straddles the border.
Yeah, they share it.
There's a place called Copacabana as well.
Yeah,
Copacabana.
Actually, I think
that's what Manolo was talking about.
Yeah.
That's no, Titicaca is one of the fetishes in 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, nice.
All right. Peru is very environmentally diverse, with three big regions being the coast, the Andes mountain range, and the Amazon rainforest. The cultures are starkly different in these three places and even speak completely different native languages, although, I'm going to mispronounce this, Quechua got pretty far given that it was the Incan language.
Nice.
The coast is the more metropolitan region with all our big cities, and that's where I grew up. We do eat guinea pigs, though it's more of a once-in-a-while thing.
Right.
And yes, it's presented to you whole, looking like a rat that fell into a pot of oil when you weren't looking.
There's always this shit that's local, like fucking eating jellied eels in England or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
That's
there's always
not a
some
local
fucking
English thing, though.
Some, well, it's a cop.
It's very London.
It's a London.
Is it?
But do you know what I mean? There's always this always this weird fucking niche, like traditional food that some people still eat. And there'll be some old man who's like, oh, we fucking love eating guinea pigs. You ain't tried a guinea pig? Oh, fucking, I eat 10 of them a week. You know, they're only small. It's the same.
What if somebody
it's
went on MasterChef and prepared that? Do you think that the
well,
guys
exactly.
would eat it?
Do you know what? Fucking Mary Berry would be swallowing them eels, wouldn't she? Fucking loving them.
No, the guinea pig.
I mean?
The guinea pig.
They're like a domesticated delight over here. I think that there'd be
Alan
an outcry.
Alan says, I never liked it, but it doesn't taste like weird chicken. I'd say it's more similar to rabbit, but rattier.
Right.
To add to fucked up animal eating, the town of Chincha is known for eating cats.
Well, so is that place in the US, apparently. What was the place that they were saying they're eating cats and dogs?
They're eating cats. They're eating pets.
They're
it's a terrible
them
thing.
All.
The people from Haiti come over here to eat our cats.
That's all they're over for. Yeah, I'm here. How long are you here for, sir? Just a week. What are you planning
just long
on
enough
doing?
To find
I'm eating as
cat.
Many cats as I can. I'm on a cat
okay,
eating
sir, you're
vacation.
Free to go.
Come on through.
It's like that woman on Tinder, isn't it? It's like they that's their weird thing. They've got to eat cats. Like they can't control themselves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like that.
They
it's like the
Flint,
woman
Michigan
who wants to shave
and...
a dude's head in her closet. Maybe it's like, maybe that's one of the 50 shades. I have to eat a fucking cat. Ugh, I'm gonna lose it. You know, like it's maybe they have to. They it just builds up over time. This they just have
to
eat one cat.
Like when Spock had Ponfar,
right,
which is the
yes.
Vulcan mating cycle every 7 years.
Yes. And he gets incredibly horny.
He gets so fucking horny. So what was Geordie LaForge's mating cycle then every episode? Because that guy was like the biggest horn dog on the Enterprise.
He was an incel, wasn't he?
Geordie LaForge. Don't mind him. It's his mating cycle again.
Well, no, but didn't he fall in love with... Geordie fell in love with...
Deanna Troi.
An AI girlfriend. No,
he fell in love with Deanna Troi and she did not reciprocate. And then he was caught... trying to get jiggy with her in the holodeck, if you remember.
Yeah, yes.
Pretty much the episode
summary. He made a hologram version of her.
Yes. Yeah. And she walked in and she's like, oh my God, Geordie, what are you doing?
Thursday's butt stuff.
He was jerking off so hard in there.
He was ahead of his time. Honestly, with these AI girlfriends, there was an episode where he had to solve some problem with the warp engine, right? And so he got this... A famous scientist.
Put your dick in it, Geordie. We gotta move.
And exactly. Oh God, it was frightening.
the only way we can fix it is if you have sex with this hologram.
Well, somebody's gonna do it. That's why he's the best goddamn engineer in Starfleet. All right. So here are the fun facts. Quick fun facts. We're so corrupt. We went through 6 presidents in the last 8 years. One of them only lasted 5 days. I'll be honest with you. I think we're in pretty much the same boat.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like the UK.
Yeah. Llamas are cool, but no one talks about alpacas and vicuñas, which are very similar and are worked just as hard.
We're an alpaca enjoying family over here.
I've never heard of a vicuña though.
No, me neither.
We on the coast love eating cow hearts on skewers. We call it antichuchos.
Right.
We almost paid off our entire national debt with guano, which is bat poop and bird poop.
Guano.
We love beef with Chileans and Ecuadorians starting from losing to them in wars we started. Oh, we have beef with Chileans and Ecuadorians.
Yeah.
Because they had wars and Peru lost those wars, but they don't like each other. And they love Dota. It's true. They really do.
They love Dota in
that's,
Peru.
Because I remember, there's always some Peruvian.
Oh, no. That's more of an NA thing, though. The NAs complain about the Peruvians like EU complains about Russians.
Exactly right. You're right. Yeah. But generally, all of the South American pros, most of them are Peruvian. Like, that's their game. Yeah. Interesting.
I feel like a lot of these South American countries, their borders are not concrete walls. They're just kind of some inaccessible region.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, like, I mean, I've played a lot of Victoria 3 recently, and I can definitely confirm that. There is a lot of borders. Like, the borders seem to be mountain ranges and big impassable parts of the Amazon.
Did we talk about the Darien Gap? I can't remember. Like, on this podcast, you guys know about that, right? It's the bit in...
I know what it is. It's
there's a lot of places in Africa that are impassable as well.
It's when there's a gap between a woman's thighs. She's slim enough that her thighs don't touch when she's standing.
No, you're thinking of Darren. Darren's gap.
Darren's gap. Oh.
It's the area in Panama where because there's not a road that runs the entire way from North to South America. And that's honestly kind of amazing.
Kind of a shame,
no, it's not.
Really.
It's a fucking nightmare building in there. I mean, you'd have to go through the bloody Amazon.
Basically, yes. And lots of people do every year.
At one point, they were like cutting it down a lot. Has that stopped or is that still going?
Of course they're still doing it.
Jesus Christ.
They're doing it more than ever, dude.
They're not sort of doing it in a straight line, though.
They should. It would make more sense to just get a straight line in there, get a nice big highway.
I mean, you know what they could do is build this highway right through the middle, but then have it all underground. Just the longest tunnel ever. And there's no air down there. And it's a vacuum.
And everybody that goes in there dies.
Yeah.
Nice idea.
Well, or they're in a pod of some kind.
Some sort of safety pod.
Some kind of safety
pod. God, imagine getting stuck down there in a pod. Fuck.
Oof, yeah. In the middle of the Amazonian jungle.
With no power.
100 meters below the ground. It'd be awful. Hi, boys. I love the podcast. I've discovered on the BBFC, that's the British Board of Film Classification, website, that some more popular TV shows have a rating for each individual episode.
Ah, interesting.
I am on the hunt for the show with the widest range of ratings. For example, Breaking Bad, which is overall an 18, has a pretty even mix of 15s and 18s, and even has two episodes rated 12.
Wow.
So far, the show I've found with the widest range of ratings is Friends. Some episodes are a U,
yeah.
Some of them are 15. I am determined to find a show with all age ratings from U to 18. As an extra thing about age ratings, if you're interested, just wanted to point out how terrible Peggy are at ratings. Everything's Peggy a 18. 16 or an 18.
Yeah,
it's always 16 or 18, which is a nightmare for me as a kid, as I had parents who were not strict at all, but took those ratings as gospel.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to play some Spider-Man games or even Castle Crashers. Mass Effect is rated a 12 by the BBFC, but an 18 by Peggy.
Well, this has been actually really interesting lately because Balatro was rated 18. Quite
why?
Famously.
Because it's, oh, because it's gambling.
Because it's based on poker, yeah.
And but in opposition to that, games that are violent with loot boxes in, like, you know, are actually having gambling, like Call of Duty and stuff, were rated like 12.
Yeah.
You know. And so it was kind of this huge thing, and Balatro, the guy who the dev was quite vocal about how ridiculous it was. And it was quite annoying because it meant that the game was restricted on certain platforms, yeah. Things like this, right? Because people do care about it. And it was causing some problems. And so he campaigned to get it changed. And eventually they did change it.
Wow.
But it took almost a year or more. And it is because their rating system is very arbitrary.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, are just out of touch with reality. But it's the gambling is how you should present it, right? Like for example, there's the Pokemon trading card game app, right? Which is,
I love that,
it is
one.
Gambling. Yeah. It's gambling.
I got multiple copies of best, that on all my devices.
It's one of the most popular apps in the world aimed at kids. And, you know, it's anyway, we've been through it before.
This is an update email that Lucas sent. I found a show that ranges from U to 18.
Right.
And it's quite a surprising result. Stargate SG-1.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
The range of ratings on that show, in one series alone, there are 18s, U's, PG's, and 12s. I think it's because there's a full frontal nudity in the first episode.
Is there?
Well, thank you, Lucas. Whoa. Interesting, apparently.
Good to know. I'm going to watch that
tonight.
The
first episode of Stargate SG-1.
Stargate 1.
Stargate SG-1.
SG stands for Stargate in that, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
This is really interesting, this show, actually, because I thought when I first heard this guy talking about it, I thought he meant like on Rating Graph, which is the website that shows like IMDb ratings per episode per season. And so when you look at Stargate SG-1, again, it has an incredibly wide range of ratings, like as low as like a 5.9 and as high as a 9.5, you know, which is surprising, right? To see how such a wide range. You tend to see like a trend, okay, on Rating Graph. Like, it just flags when something major has happened to the show, like with The Office US, right? When Michael leaves, the show changes, or like, you can see The Simpsons when it like stopped being good and it's never recovered. Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. It's just kind of fascinating to see these. I love Rating Graph as a website, and it's got movie franchises in as well, so you can see like the Alien movies and stuff. I use it all the time, and I wonder what. I mean, obviously, The Simpsons would have an incredibly wide range. It has as low as a 4 and as high as a 9.3. Okay, not bad. But like,
it's been around for so long. But it did have a golden age as well. It's been around that long.
Oh, Game of Thrones is a great one to see on the Rating Graph, right? Because it's like, I'll show you.
It starts off like unbeatable and then just tanks near the end.
It starts off like unbelievably high. Like 9... 0.6, 9.7, 9.9.
Oh, the first couple of seasons were fantastic, though. God, they were so good.
And then it just like actually just, it's like, it's like it falls off a cliff, like Wile E. Coyote style. It's astonishing. But yeah, it's like fun to get a picture of how long to watch a show for.
What's the ratings graph like for the UK Apprentice? Just like 20 seasons of it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't even know how you would even like. Actually, I've got a link for you. Here you go. It's weird. I imagine, again, it's based off user ratings, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is really all over the place.
But I guess at the end of the day, it's very consistent.
Wow.
I think some seasons are better than others for sure, right?
It looks like it went completely bananas. Season 4, episode 7 in 2008. Total votes, nine.
Average rating,
foul play
eight.
Afoot.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of ratings on this sort of stuff.
Yeah. All right, so here's let's finish on this one. At some point, I can't remember when, and I assume you don't either. Well done, Ed. You mentioned weird jobs.
Yeah.
And wanted to share with you mine. Most people don't consider journalism a weird job, but that's because they forget that local papers still print. I work for a local paper and news website in Cornwall, and my job is, let's just say, somewhat different to how I imagined it. Instead of breaking Watergate 2, I found that my role is essentially to speak to the weird, the wonderful, the furious, and the fuming. One such example was a man from Newquay who claims to be the bastard son of John DeLorean, late founder of the DeLorean car company.
Right.
This guy, Ty DeLorean, has just recently lost a lawsuit for making his own DeLorean cars, which are just modded Reliant Robins. One time he texted
God,
me.
God, I can't pay attention because that plane is
landing. I'm trying to guess where it's going.
Taking off!
It's, that one's
taking off!
That one is on its way to Egypt.
Hong Kong.
Fuck
it. I work for Hong Kong. So, one time he texted me something along the lines of, I don't suppose you'd be interested in a story about the Taliban wanting to buy my cars. Suffice it to say, I've never mashed the call button on my phone quicker. What ensued was a conversation about how the Taliban supposedly want to buy his DeLorean cars, and that while the Home Office forbade it, something to do with the scuffle when they came to power, I suppose, he would consider it if they cleaned up their act a bit. So there is a link to this article, which I have here.
That he wrote?
This is Ed's article at Cornwall Live. Son of DeLorean says Taliban wants to buy his cars. Now, if you look, there is a picture of one of these modded Robin Reliants.
I see it.
And it's got the wing doors on, like a DeLorean. If you're listening to this, you're at the internet, just go, just look.
Does that guy require the pimp cane to walk, or is it just like a showpiece?
I don't know. I don't know, but he's quite a character. So yes, if you look at these cars, they are literally modded Robin Reliance. For those who don't know what a Robin Reliant is, it's a three-wheel car.
Yeah.
The reason they were popular is you only needed a motorcycle license to drive them. You didn't need a full driving license.
Is that
license.
The blue car that Mr. Bean always crashes his Mini into in the Mr. Bean series? The Robin Reliant?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, my uncle had two because he didn't have a driving license. He had a motorcycle license. He was a motorcycle rider. And he never got a driving license. And the Robin Reliant, first of all, they were cheap as chips. But they were literally made of like fiberglass.
Yeah.
Like they weren't metal. It was like a fiberglass frame on a trike.
Is that what they used to drive on Only Fools and Horses? Trotters Independent Traders?
Yeah, I think it was Robin Reliant. Okay. Yeah. They were like the comedy car of the 70s and 80s. Because they were so cheap. And if you went okay, too fast around a corner, it would tip over.
Yeah.
The Taliban has been widely criticized around the world, centering on its poor record surrounding women's rights, ultra-conservative politics, and censoring opposition. Ty, however, said he'd consider taking them up on the offer. In my ambition, which is sometimes bigger than reality, I'd like to see the vehicle as a peace symbol. It could be used to negotiate with the Taliban and help get them to start dropping some of their hardline stances. And if they were to do that, maybe I could sell some of these to them.
If they're doing anything bad,
I won't do any business with them.
My car
back. So funny.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. There you go.
That's good.
They need their country rebuilding, and the US and British have caused far more atrocities and deaths than the Taliban ever did.
Goodness
me. Gee whiz.
Okay. Wow. So this guy, do you know what, though? I think this is like that scam that happened in North Korea where they got Sweden to send them 50 Volvos or whatever that they never paid for.
Right.
And they're still using them nowadays. You know, I think it's the new guy is like looking at getting some free cars for the Afghanistani, you know, leadership. And I don't think he really did his research here, reaching out to the guy who mods these fucking Robin Reliants into DeLoreans, which is honestly insane that this lunatic is modding Robin Reliance into DeLoreans. It blows my mind. But God, good on him. It's so funny.
Thanks for the story. That's a really good one, Ed. And good luck your art.
Yeah, yeah.
Plane just went over, headed to Larnaca. Do you know where that is?
Larnaca.
Larnaca.
Is it Hawaii?
Larnaca.
No, I have no idea where that is. Oh, nice.
Cyprus.
Oh, nice.
Cyprus. Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. Oh, goodness. Oh.
What was I thinking of? Laniaika or whatever. Laniaika.
Make sounds. And maybe one of them will be correct.
It's the name of the supercluster where we are in the Milky Way.
Laniaika supercluster. We're not in a cluster, are we? I thought we were on our lonesome way out at the end of a spiral arm.
You wish. We're part of the Laniaika supercluster.
Have you played?
Wait. Do you mean our galaxy? Or
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you said the Milky Way.
Have you played
I'm saying in our galaxy, we're kind of...
Which is our galaxy. Our galaxy
No, I understand that. But the point is, you're saying the supercluster of other galaxies. We're not in a supercluster within the Milky Way, are
I
we?
Sent you a pic. There you go. Look at that. It's a cluster of galaxies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
one of them in
that's
there.
That's Laniaika. Laniaika.
It's not the same. That's not where the plane's going.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yes.
When was the last time you played Stellaris Flex?
Not in a while. Oh. Why?
I don't know. I just haven't played it in years, and I just wanted to...
I played it last year.
I liked it last time I played it, but it's just been so long.
Oh, it's great fun, yeah. No, it's really good. It's still really, really good.
They put out a new DLC, like... Last week,
I can't remember. It was well received, unlike the fucking new Hearts of Iron DLC.
That seems to be getting shit on left, right, and center. all right, listen, thanks so much for listening to our crappy podcast once again. I hope you enjoyed the mailbag, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Yeah, see you next time. Right. Bye.
Love you. Bye.